This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Talking swamp sweating. That's for the bathtub full of sweat.
Special edition of the Sports Lounge. Your host, Cowboy. Cowboy's alone in the lounge tonight. And as I said, special edition, second lounge this week. Hope everyone enjoyed when we had Rob Carpenter on a couple days ago. He was fantastic. And, you know, Rob must have gotten the word out to the other celebrities, because joining me here very shortly, we're just waiting for him to walk through the door, is MMA legend, UFC Hall of Famer, and the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. So, going to take a quick break, and I see Ken just pulled up, so he'll be in here on the couch with me shortly, right when we get back. So on the break here, just listen to the other great stuff and content we have at Place to Be Nation, and stay tuned for Ken Shamrock in the Sports Lounge. We'll take it and
walk the sexy. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport podcast. Available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. With over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar, Boneheads has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
With Alzheimer's, line up, please. All mommies with mind freeze, please line up, please. All bloggers with comments, please. I come in peace to see if we can kill your animals.
Well, folks, welcome back to the Sports Lounge. So, as promised, we have a very special guest in the lounge tonight. I pulled up a seat on the couch here with me. Hall of Famer, MMA legend, the world's most dangerous man. One of my, one of my heroes, actually, growing up. Ken Shamrock, how are you doing tonight, Ken?
Good, man. Thank you for that introduction. That was nice. Thanks.
No problem. You earned it. Believe me. So it's a bit, we're taping this on a Thursday night, and yesterday afternoon, Ken, had some big news that I saw on your website, kenshamrock.com, big press release. Looks like you're going to be taking part in a bare-knuckle boxing match. You want to talk to us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I made mention. I think everybody has always understood who I am. I'm a little bit crazy, a little bit wild. I love fighting. I've always loved it. It's my passion. So it may be a surprise to some, but the people that really know me know that it's not a surprise, because this is something I love to do. I'm going to live my life to the fullest, and I'm going to enjoy what I like doing. And this is something that I like doing. It's about time. You know what I mean? For so long, I remember when I first started out in MMA, it was bare knuckle. And, you know, he fought four times in one night. I mean, it was pure. You know, you didn't have all these politics going on and guys putting gloves on and swinging for the fences and not hurting their hands, but being able to punch somebody in the head 100 times and not hurt their hand and do brain damage to protect the hand. Oh, wait a minute, we're trying to protect the fighter. Oh, sure you are. But, man, this is what it's all about, man. It's real. It's to where it belongs. I mean, you know, back in the old days when people fought each other, they didn't get time to go put a glove on and put trunks on and go, hey, man, okay, let's go. We're going to go this and this and this, and you can't do this, this, and this. I mean, it's as pure as it gets. Which doesn't shock me, and it probably doesn't shock people that really understand fighting, but it's not as dangerous as people say. It's a lot less dangerous when you don't have gloves on. You're allowed to strike people, but you got to be very careful on where those punches land, because you'll break your hand, and then you'll be in trouble. So for me, it's getting back to what I really believe is the pure in fighting, and that's bare knuckle. And I am very excited that I'm going back to my roots. I'm able to take the gloves off, and as real as it gets.
Oh, that's awesome, Ken. And yeah, to your point about safety, I mean, that's why we always hear, you know, mixed martial arts is safer than boxing, because that, you know, that glove provides padding, but also, I mean, if you get hit right with a bare fist, you're getting knocked out. You're not going to take that sustained punishment that you can with an 8-ounce or a 4-ounce glove on, where you're taking, you know, multiple shots to the head over an extended period. Is that about accurate?
Well, you got to understand, too, like, when you want to talk about skill, you want to talk about skill, you know how much soft tissue you have on your head? It's probably 20% or 10% of a area that you have to hit on the total head, which is the chin, the cheeks, and the nose. Anything outside of that, more than likely you're going to damage your hand. So that means you have to be very accurate on where you're striking, because, or lighten up on your punches until you know you have a good shot, then you can take it. So, yeah, when people talk about, oh, it's not the skills and skills are not there, and, well, I get it. You know, footwork and the squaring up and the wide punch, I get that part. But I also know that it's not as easy as most people think when you're trying to fight bare knuckle and being able to keep your hands protected. So I hear a lot of comments about Quinn. I hear some negative thoughts on him. But the guy doesn't get where he's at without being a tough guy and not knowing what he's doing. So he has my respect, and that I appreciate what he has done. But I am very excited to get in the ring and pit what I have against what he has, and I believe that I will come out on top.
Awesome, Ken, and we can't wait to see it. So what's the format of the fight? Are there rounds? Is it just kind of a one-timed round?
It's three rounds, and each of them are 5 minutes. I think that's ample time to get in there, especially if you get two guys that are going to get after it and put an end to the fight. I think we're going to have plenty of time to do that.
Awesome. Awesome. And is there going to be a way here in the U.S. To catch this, to watch this fight?
Yes, it will be on pay-per-view. It is in April. They have not set a date yet, but it will be in April. And what I will be doing is that starting in February, I will be posting at least once or twice a week of different types of my training so people can see what it is that I'm doing. I don't want people to think anything less than Ken Shamrock is in great shape. Ken Shamrock is coming to win this fight, and Ken Shamrock is in the best shape of his life, considering the last seven fights or eight fights that he's had where he had some injuries and some issues that he needed to get fixed, and he needed to take some time off, get rested up, get healed up, and refocus. And by showing these things, these videos that I will be posting, so that people will see the way that I look and the conditioning and the skills that I will possess, they will know that this is not a fight that I'm taking lightly. This is the fight I'm coming to win.
Awesome. And those will be posted on your website, KenShamrock.com, I assume.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're really looking forward to that, Ken. And I was hoping we could maybe talk a little bit about the old days, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm a huge MMA fan, Ken, and started out, I'm 35 years old, so UFC 1, I remember watching UFC 1, and, you were a staple back then, and, I think people maybe don't know just how good you were. You were literally the pound for pound, the best fighter in the world at that time. And what I wanted to talk to you about,
bare knuckle too.
Oh, I know. I mean, you remember no rules either for the most part, right?
Yeah.
I remember the super fight with Severn. But what I wanted to talk to you about was the UFC was, UFC, maybe people don't realize this now, but the UFC almost went away. The UFC was almost no more. And it was your fight with Tito, your first fight with Tito, that really put the UFC back on the map.
Well, and let's go back farther than that. Let's talk about the very beginning of the UFC when no one knew anything about it. There was this guy walking around in Janus that was choking all these big guys out. Which I took for granted, and he even caught me, and I was a champion over in Japan. And then I came back later on, and I beat him into a pulp. But this is, you talk about transition of the MMA. You looked at when it first started, no one knew anything about it. And then all of a sudden, you have Gracie who wins it, and then you have myself who didn't win, but yet all of a sudden I went back after him because I was the only one out there that could have challenged him. And I fought a couple more times trying to get to him and then wouldn't fight a guy in the finals because I wanted him. I didn't want anybody else. Really set the standard of fighting and entertainment all wrapped up into one. And then you go from that old school into that beginning of that new age with the gloves and, fighting one time. And me coming back to it and fighting Tito Ortiz, which was, I think, in a lot of people's opinion, considering the old school when they were trying to make it, and me and Hoist being the faces of it and really catapulting it into success. And then the second era when it was dying, it was literally going out of business, and they needed a shot in the arm. And they already had one guy there that was very flamboyant, very exciting, but he didn't have a counterpart. He didn't have somebody there to help jumpstart that career of his because he was there. He had all of it. He just didn't have a counterpart. And then I come into the picture, which I became that counterpart. And I think in most people's opinion, I'm looking at the stats and the things that you have access to, would all agree that that fight single-handedly changed the direction of what the Fertittas were thinking about closing the doors. I don't believe for a second that they slept on it and then woke up the next morning and decided they were just going to keep going. I mean, that's a great thought, but I think that when they went to sleep on it, they saw our fight first.
Yeah, and that was a great fight. I mean, if you were injured in that fight, if I'm not mistaken.
I was injured I was injured in all three of those fights. I remember, I was 36 years old. Coming into this, I fought over in Japan, great career over there. I blew my knee out the first time prior to fighting Tito. It was messed up. I fought him anyways. Did the best I could. They stopped the fight, Probably, maybe they did, good or not. I can't go against it because I was taking a beating. But if you look at it, back in the early days when I was in Japan, in one of my earlier fights, I took like 4 knees to the head. I went down. They countered me. I got back up. He hit me with a right hand uppercut and then 3 more knees. And most of the time in today's era, they would stop the fight. But I countered him with a hook to the body, an uppercut, and then I started unloading on him. And then he hits the ground, right? He gets back up. I shoot. I take him down. I take the fight over, and I win it. Now, they would have stopped that fight in today's era. So the toughness is not being rewarded. So talking about the fights with Tito, even though I was injured during these times, I still had the toughness. And believed, in my opinion, if we would have been able to let these fights move and go on and allow the toughness to be rewarded, I believe the fights could have gone differently. But we will never know that because the tough guys are not being rewarded for being tough. Their skills that may be one of their strengths is they got a tough chin and they can't be knocked out. But if they can take 4 punches in a row, they'll stop the fight. So they're really not rewarding these guys. You look at the way the fights went with me and Tito. The first one, I think, was probably the most legitimate one they stopped, even though I felt I could have gone on, but it was more of a legitimate stoppage. But the next 2 fights, you look at them and you're just going, what? What? So even though I was injured and I couldn't keep up with him, I had to let him make a mistake, and you just don't get that today. And it's sad, too, because I remember watching fights like Oleg Taktarov, who Tank Abbott just beat him up for 20 minutes, however long it was, and then he slowed down, and then Oleg ended up choking him out. And you've got to see a lot of those kind of fights where you got to see heart and desire and toughness be able to come back and win fights. That's gone today. You don't see that anymore because they don't allow these guys to bring the ones that are tough, that have good chins, that have the desire in their heart to win, to be able to go through those hard, rough times and be able to pull out that victory that no one could see coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the second fight in particular, Ken, was a very, very premature stoppage. I remember watching that one and being very unsatisfied with that result. So wanted to talk to you just as from a fan's perspective, just to get the in-ring, get in your head a little bit. So how much of, I mean, the disdain that the two of you guys seem to have for each other, how much of that, I mean, because you see a lot of times there's a lot of talking before the fight, and then the fight's over and everybody's lovey-dovey. But there seemed to be a real palpable, like, personal disdain between the two of you guys. Could you speak to that for me?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tito was on his way up. He had this persona, which was, I mean, it worked. I mean, he took all the tank spot, but he had skill. I mean, he literally had skill. He could win the belt. He could hold the belt. But he had that bad boy image, which, you know, everybody wanted Tank to be that guy, but he just couldn't get that excellence. He just didn't do that. Tito could do it. So it was great. They had the personality now. Now they had a guy with skill that could carry the belt. And, you know, me being the opposite of that, you know, and we clashed, and it was real. I mean, we just didn't know each other. And what we did know, because as far as our abilities in the ring, I was at the end of my career. He was in the prime time of his career. I was angry and frustrated because I felt like I could find a way to win, but it seemed like every time I just couldn't get it done. And he was young and he was talking smack, and it just ended up being a bad situation for both of us. We didn't like each other, one, because of my anger not being able to do what I want to do, knowing that if I was younger, what I could do, and him saying, you know, I'm young, and I don't care how young you are, I could still beat you. You know, it was just that animosity towards each other of things that I wanted to have happen and things that he knew wouldn't happen.
Right, and, you know, it's interesting now. I'm sure you saw, you know, Tito, the maybe the roles have reversed a little bit. Now Tito is about 36, 37 and still still going, Sarm, but just fight Stefan Bonner recently. And Tito's still talking. He is still talking. He can still sell a fight. So last thing I wanted to talk to you about, Ken, while we have you, is so there are a lot of guys have done – you know, some guys have done what you did, which is go from the world of MMA into the world of the WWE, WWF at the time. We have a guy trying to go the other way now and kind of wanted your thoughts. So from an outsider's perspective, you know, it's a lot. You know, you had a guy like Brock Lesnar, you know, very, very decorated wrestler, seemed to have that. Have something that he could bring to the table in an MMA fight. But to CM Punk is doing it with, you know, well, I've been training jiu-jitsu for a little while, and, you know, it seems like he doesn't have that base, and it's almost like a lamb to the slaughter is the way I see it. What do you think? How do you think he's going to fare, and would you consider yourself like a possible opponent for him? Because I know they had you signed to fight Kimbo Slice, and you got hurt. It was the night he lost, too, right? You were hurt like that day, I believe.
Yeah, I got a cut over my eye, and then I tried to get the commission to let me fight. I double-stitched it, and I told them, listen, let me go in the ring. If I get cut, you can stop it. If it opens up, you can stop it. And I told them, I said, listen, he ain't going to hit me. I'm going to put him on his back, and it's going to be over. So, but if you stop the fight, if he hits me and it opens up at all, you can stop it, I'll accept that. And they still wouldn't go.
And as far as Punk,
you know, I believe, and you hear a lot of both sides, you know, this guy's earned his spot. I mean, he is a decorated pro wrestler. He is a guy that is known throughout the world. How can you not want this guy to go into MMA? If I was these guys, I wouldn't be complaining about him coming in. I'd be saying, put me on the card. Or wait a minute, let me be his opponent. Don't tell him, oh, he shouldn't get in. He had to earn the right to be there. It's like, listen, yeah, he has. If he's selling tickets, it's called entertainment. Even though it's a real fight, the only way you're going to have this continue to keep going is if there's money coming in. And it's all about putting butts in the seat, whether it's real or it's not real. It's about entertainment. This guy is entertainment. This guy is putting himself out there. Got to give this guy credit, man. He's going from pro wrestling into MMA. He's putting it all on the line, knowing that his personality in pro wrestling is like being a stud, and now he's going to go out and prove it? Come on. Yeah, give this guy some props, man.
Oh, that's just, you know, I do. I mean, it's a real ballsy thing to do. I'll say that. It's I don't put anything bad on him, and I did not mean for it to come out that way. I mean, he's chasing his dream, and I give him credit to go into the octagon and take a real punch. I mean, that's you know, not a lot of guys would do what he's doing, and especially given the fact that he comes in as. I mean, he probably comes in as the biggest draw in the UFC, right?
He's successful, man. He's already successful in acting and stunt work and pro wrestling. This guy is, like, he's successful, and he's putting it all on the line. Who would do that? I mean, that is, you got to give this man credit. He's putting it all on the line.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you think that, you know, Dana White generally, like, I mean, it's the best fight the best, and that's that. So given that has his 0-0 record, do you think they'll put him in there at first, at least with some less seasoned guys, just to kind of gauge where he's at?
Well, I mean, listen, let's not be crazy here. It's like when they want to bring in James Toney and they had Couture fight him. I said, that's stupid. Why not put him in there with Chuck Liddell or somebody that's more of a striker in there, and at least let this guy get his feet wet? Let him get, you know, he's already established. Don't treat him like a punk. You know, and I thought they treated James Toney like a punk. They didn't match him up well. They put him with a pure grappler. It's like, of course, yeah, he's going to lose. Come on. So, but they put him against Chuck Liddell. Hey, now we got a fight. So, to me, they need to really place him properly. This is a guy that's going to put butts in the seat. This is a draw. Don't give him an easy fight. Give him somebody that's going to be at the level that he's at. And listen, this is about the fight, fighting the best, but then sometimes it's about entertainment. and it's about draws. It's about putting money in the people's pocket. And let's be smart about this. This is the real world we're talking about here. So let's take care of this guy and make sure that he's fighting a guy that's not like he's got 20 years of experience and 30 fights. And put him in there and say, okay, well, you know, you're successful pro wrestling, so we're going to put you in here with a successful MMA guy. Come on. That's like putting some guys in MMA with 20 fights up against Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart or Stone Cold or The Rock and say, okay, let's have a match. They're going to look like idiots. So let's not kid ourselves here. Let's build this. Let's give him a chance. At a guy that's got the same skill levels that he has, and let's build him up and see where it goes, because, listen, he's a draw.
Yeah, absolutely, and it looks like that's what they're doing by having him on the pre-show last week for the John Jones fight, and it signed a multi-fight deal. Like, the James Toney thing seemed like, you know, Dana White kind of knew this is a one-and-done. And, I mean, he put him in there with, like you said, like the worst possible style, right? I mean, it was literally the worst
guy. Randy Couture. You're going to the ground, brother.
Right. And and Tony did about as well as Randy Couture would have done with a pair of boxing
gloves
on.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, and I hope that Punk is... You know, I hope he's at least somewhat successful. I wish him success, for your points, that he, you know, he's taking a challenge that a lot of people wouldn't take and that he doesn't have to take. And anything that's going to draw more fans into MMA is something that we should all be for. So I agree with you there.
That's what I'm missing here is why the hate? I mean, don't you want MMA to be successful? Don't you want it to grow? And when you get guys like this that come in that want to put themselves out there and say, listen, I'm putting myself out there. I'm taking a risk because I love the sport. Why don't we embrace that instead of hate it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So thanks so much, Ken. We can't wait to see your bare knuckle fight, and you'll always be a welcome here in the sports lounge. And if I ever need to throw anybody out of the sports lounge, I know who to call.
Hey, listen, I want people to realize, you know, I took 4 years off out of fighting, and most people realize that, you know, I didn't retire, man. I stepped away. I had a lot of issues I had to deal with, a lot of injuries and problems up with my physical health that I had to deal with and get fixed and then move forward to see whether or not I could continue. This, you are going to be 100% surprised on my ability after being able to take this much time off, get healed up, evaluate myself, and retrain myself. I think that, and I'm going to show people as my training goes forward, starting in February, and once they start watching and seeing what's happening, I think that it's going to really change a lot of people's minds about what they think. And the ones that are already on board with me, I think the ones that know me and that are truly my fans, understand that this is who I am. I was born to do this, and this is what I love doing. People make mention all the time, well, Randy, you've already proved everything. You don't need to prove anything anymore. How many times do I got to say it? This isn't about proving anything. This is about living life the way I want to live it and have fun.
Yeah, and we all absolutely, we're behind you here. And if you're able to go out there and do it, and, you know, your health's not in serious danger, which it doesn't seem it is, and then by all means, Ken, I mean, you go out there and kick this guy's ass. We're right behind you.
Hey man, brother, I'm ready. Listen, I want to thank everybody for supporting me over the years too. And again, I think most people that know me know this. I love being in front of the crowd. I love entertaining. I love giving the fans something to cheer about. So here's to you, man. Getting ready to do it again, man. God bless.
All right, Ken. Take care. And it was great having you on. We'll have you back in the sports lounge anytime. We'll shoot you a message after you win this fight, and we can talk about it.
There we go.
All right. Very good, Ken. Ken Shamrock, right, everyone. Ken Shamrock, the world's most dangerous man. Live from the Sports Lounge. We were very happy to have him. And he was also on the Place to Be podcast, which you can hear at placetobenation.com as well. So for Ken, I'm the Cowboy. I'm out. This city really world by storm, and I'm just getting warm, just like Muhammad Ali.